Welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Common Sense Revisited. Today is Saturday, April 6th, 2013. This is the second half of the show, the second hour, and you're listening to Corey Ibe, my co-host, and myself, Todd McGreevy, and we appreciate you tuning in on RBN as well as noagendastream.com. And we've got a caller who's been holding in Arkansas. Jerry, are you there?
Yes, thank you for accepting this call.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate the struggle that so many people are going through to try and find a home. I'll use that term. The home they're trying to find is the proper jurisdiction. And along the lines, then people are trying to find the right home. They find out a lot of things that they don't like. With respect to common law, I would like to read from the Won Kim Ark case, United States Supreme Court case. There is no common law of the United States in the sense of a national customary law as distinct from the common law of England. Okay? Skipping down, the interpretation of the Constitution of the United States is necessarily influenced by the fact that its provisions are framed in the language of the English common law and are to be read in the light of its history. So, the common law in the United States is identical, if you will, with English common law. The fundamental principle of common law with regard to English nationality was birthed within the allegiance, also called legality, obedience, faith, or power of the king. Okay, so people that are in common law are under the power of the king of England. And that power was transferred, if you will, to your legislators and to your state governments and to the federal government. So that may help people to understand that you're right back into the ball of wax you're trying to get out of if you're in common law.
Well, Jerry, on that part there, I definitely disagree with you because there are court cases. You're absolutely right as far as bringing the law of England. The common law of England is the common law here. However, there is a court case which I can't pull it up by memory at the moment, but I do know it exists and we'll get the reference for it, that when Cornwallis abandoned the battlefield, all of the rights, privileges, and prerogatives of the king devolved to the people. So the...
That's Lansing versus Smith.
There we go. That's it. Lansing v. Smith.
Right. Now, so, if you go back to the Treaty of Paris, at the very beginning of it, it clearly defines the sovereignty that was transferred to the people. And it was to be the chief elector to the Holy Roman Empire, to be the arch treasurer of the Holy Roman Empire. And those treaties of where the king has given his allegiance to the Holy Roman Empire go back to the 1200s, and that's one of the most recent treaties. And the very first treaty between England and the Vatican was executed in about 73 A.D. And England has always been subject to the Vatican. And so you have to track these things back. So, and the, by the way, the U.S. Supreme Court has said that sovereignty, which, you know, when the Cornwallis abandoned the battlefield, may only be exercised through the legislatures. And there is no other sovereignty except through the legislatures. And here again, this now tracks you right back to the Holy Roman Empire, the Vatican. And so,
well, let me ask you, Jerry, before you go on with that, because I actually just don't agree with your perspective on that at all, that that from what I hear you saying, there is no way out, that's not at all what was created, and there's plenty of evidence to show it's been abrogated, some of those comments that you made.
No, I'm not saying there's not any way out. There is a way out. But you have to make sure that you don't go from one tar pit to another tar pit, and what I'm relating is U.S. Supreme Court decisions, which...
Jerry, hold on one second, buddy. Jerry, we've got to take a quick break. Hold on. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
And we're back, folks. We are back. And is this Jerry? Is this Jerry that has his own show on Saturdays on RBN?
I used to up until a few months ago, and then I was canceled.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not been updated on the site. Okay, I didn't know that. All right. Well, we've got another call. Can you hold
here for a second, Jerry? We got a caller, Dean from New York, has been listening. I think he'd like to weigh in on what you.
Yes, I kind of lost the volume though.
Okay.
I got you back.
All right. Super. Anyway. That's because I backed away from my mic. Sorry, folks. Anyway, Dane, go ahead. Are you there? I don't know if our...
Hello?
Hi, Dane.
Yeah, it's coming in a little weak, but it's fine. How are you?
Doing well. Did you have a comment about Jerry's
yes,
assertions?
Yes, I do. Jerry said that the common law puts us right back under the jurisdiction of the Crown. Well, in the original Constitution of New York in 1777... And I would assume this holds true for all the constitutions of all 13 colonies. It says that all such parts of the said common law and all such of the said statutes and acts aforesaid or parts thereof as may be construed to establish or maintain any particular denomination of Christians or their ministers or concern the allegiance hereto yielded to the supremacy, sovereignty, government, or prerogatives claimed to be exercised by the King of Great Britain and his predecessors over the colony of New York and its inhabitants, or are repugnant to this Constitution, be and here they hereby are abrogated and rejected. And this convention doth further ordain that resolves the Constitution, resolves or... Re- or resolutions of the Congress of the Colony of New York and the conventions of the State of New York now in force and not repugnant to the government established by this Constitution shall be considered as making parts of the law of the state subject, nevertheless, to such alterations and provisions as legislature of the state may from time to time.
So, Dane, give it to me. Give it to me in the elevator speech. What does that mean?
All right. What that means is any part of the common law that puts us under the jurisdiction, supremacy, sovereignty, and government of the King of Great Britain are hereby expunged from common law, English common law, and any resolutions that may seek to put us back under that common law, under the supremacy of the King, are
verbatim, it's repugnant.
Is repugnant to the government's established constitution.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, so Jerry, just to flip it back to you, you know, we're trying to have a civil discourse here, and you said, Jerry, that you know you don't want to get yourself in, out of one tar pit into another, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, you know, we're proposing, you know, making your own what we call a common law ID, and maybe that's just a euphemism that you know doesn't. It's our own independent identification, establishing ourselves as trying to establish ourselves as somebody domiciled in one of the free states prior to the administrative GovCo's assertion of authority. So what's the beef with that effort?
Because you're throwing yourself right back under common law, and no matter what any constitution or state law or any legislature says, the people that tell you what the law means are the black robes in Washington, D.C.,
okay.
called the
Supreme Court. That. So hold
I
that
may
thought.
Not like it. You may not like it.
Jerry, hold that thought. So you referred to that case. It was called Kim. Could you repeat that case again?
Yeah, United States versus Juan Kim Ark.
I've seen that before.
U.S. 649, and the last time it was further upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court by quotation is 1998.
Okay, so hold on a second. That what approximately what year was that case?
1898.
Okay,
and
so that was after
years later they revalidated it.
Hold on a second, Jerry. All right, give me a second. So that was 38 years after, and I can't remember the name of the case in 1860, where the Supreme Court declared that it was the arbiter of what was constitutional. Right.
Sure.
That was a famous case, Corey. Which one was that? Maybe you know.
You know, I don't know the name of that case off the top of my head. I know what you're referring to.
And it's like as you call them, Jerry, the black robes decided that they were the arbiters of what was constitutional. As if, you know, and so I take issue with, you know, ascribing just because the black robes in 1898 said something in this case that it's, you know, totally, you know, gospel now. You know, I that's where I stand on it. So that's my own two cents there.
Well, I mean, you know, what I think or what you think doesn't necessarily work in a courtroom. Is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to win in a courtroom, you've got to know what the black robes have said and know how to defeat what they've come across. They have also held that the fundamental basis for all laws is the laws given by God to Moses in U.S. Supreme Court cases. And they have altered the Father's laws. If you move under his jurisdiction, they're in checkmate. I've been doing it for 15 years, and I've had no problems at all. Whatever.
Let me. Do you have a driver's license, Jerry?
No. I have a conveyor's identification card. Which,
from the DMV?
No. I made it up. I registered it with the government. And they have not done anything to me for 15 years. And, you know, I don't have any contracts with any level of government. And on my ID, it says Arkansas, the state, with state in lowercase. Somebody asked me what that means. I said, well, you know, you look on a map and you see this line and there's some dirt there outlined and that's the area I live. I'm non-political. Anything political is corporate. The court ruled that every colony, every state, from the get-go all the way through, were corporate. They had to be corporate. It's in the Treaty of Paris that you know, when they sent their people there.
Well, it's not at all, I mean, nobody's saying that the original governments weren't a form of business. That's what government is. It's a corporate business. But to say that the common law in the United States puts you right under the jurisdiction of the crown, is contradicted by California Civil Code 22.2 it says the common law of England, so far as it is not repugnant or inconsistent with the Constitution of the United States or the Constitution or laws of this state, is the rule of decision in all of the courts of this state.
And the California Supreme Court is always trumped by the U.S. Supreme Court. That's what people don't get. And if you walk into a courtroom and you start quoting California stuff, you get trumped. I did an exercise back when I lived in Florida. I went up to the Attorney General of the state of Florida in Tallahassee, and I said, I want to see all your memorandums to the governor, to the Speaker of the House, and to the Senate pro tem leader. They hem and hawed for over an hour. And what I was looking for was how many memorandums the Attorney General sent to those three people. We must change Florida law to be not in conflict with federal law. And you can go to your Attorney General and find out that every time the federal government says, you got to change this, in almost every case, they change it because federal law
John,
state law.
Of course, that's because the state of Florida is a franchise of the federal government.
Same as the California.
No, the original colonies were not franchises of the federal government.
Oh, yes, they were, my friend. As a matter of fact,
the federal government didn't exist, Jerry. The federal government received its authority via the states. The states were the ones that transferred the authority to the federal government.
Corey, the original federal government was a franchise of the states.
Okay, exactly.
The very first U.S. Supreme Court case occurred in 1759. The Declaration of Independence was 1776, and the Constitution was approved in 1787. First U.S. Supreme Court case was in 1759. That's history. There's no doubt about it. You had a U.S. Supreme Court 18 years before you had the Declaration of Independence. And that
well, before the Declaration of Independence,
deflections. But when you read what the court says, that's the way they act in this country. I don't like it. Don't get me wrong. But that's the way the reality is. And you have to think about how in the world they have a U.S. Supreme Court case in 1759.
We had Harvard in 1759. This was a very, you know, progressive country. There was an established country here.
It was called the United States, too. And people don't get it.
Yes, it was called the United States, and it was under the jurisdiction of the king. It was subject to the king. In fact, they didn't want to leave that jurisdiction. They wanted to work it out with the king prior to going to war. They did everything they could to work things properly with the king.
Right.
It was the king that forced the contest of the Revolutionary War.
All of the sovereign things that were given, you will find that all of the lands and estates that were won in the war were given back to England.
No, they weren't all given back to England. It was all they did was they allowed the king to keep the lands that he had. That is very incorrect, Jerry. The founding fathers honored the rights, the property rights of the king.
It doesn't say that. It says all of the property that was owned by British subjects shall be returned to British subjects. And every one of them were British subjects prior to the war. And you can, when you clearly read it in two different places, everything was given back to the king in the Treaty of Paris.
Jerry, there were British subjects that lived in Britain that owned land in the colonies. Those people in Great Britain, they didn't lose their land. The founding fathers recognized the importance of property rights. Even when it was unpalatable to give it back to the enemy, they remained in honor and made sure that those people who had financial interests in lands here in the colonies, they were able to keep those lands. The king was able to keep those lands. Men who fought in the Revolutionary War were no longer subjects of the crown or the king.
Of course, we didn't let the American Indians keep their land, so there's hypocrisies all over.
Well, absolutely.
And so we've got another break here. And Jerry, we're going to wrap up with you on the other side of this break. When we come back, we want to know, where is your domicile and what do you consider yourself to be a national of? We're going to be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant Powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
We're back, folks, and Jerry in Arkansas. Let's wrap up your points here and share with us. I mean, you know, you feel that the efforts that Corey is making is just leading him back into quote another tar pit. But what are you doing? Where do you consider yourself to be domiciled?
First of all, I'm not domiciled because the terminology domicile is used as belonging to someone that is a national.
Okay.
And any national is subject to the law of nations, and that throws you right back into where we call the United Nations today. And in the Treaty of Paris, they have a minister that was minister plenipotentiary, I can't say that, of the said United States, the high mightiness of the State General of the United Netherlands. Okay, so everybody under the Articles of Confederation agreed to go under the Law of Nations, which was corporate again. And they got thrown right back into this. And you have to keep looking at these little, like, skins.
So what is your domicile, or how do you describe the jurisdiction in which you inhabit, Jerry?
The Father's laws as given by the Christ. And I'm under that jurisdiction. And the court can't deal with me, because the court can only, no matter what court you have, they can only sit in one jurisdiction at one time. They can't sit in two different jurisdictions. And that's the only jurisdiction.
Well, that's completely incorrect, because the courts we have do sit in two jurisdictions we have here. We have both administrative and common law.
And when you go into court, you have to plead whichever one that you want to be under, and if you don't, they'll flip you under the one.
You don't have to plead, Jerry.
All the jurisdiction is determined by the pleadings. That's 101 law.
And watch my video. Appear without entering a plea.
Correctly and define themselves.
Jerry, I have a video of appear without entering a plea. I've done it personally. So you can watch the video and you can verify the case. It's still active here in Orange County. Just go onto YouTube and type in appear without entering a plea. I really do think you have a lot to learn about what the...
I've been doing this for years. If you don't plea, then they put you into the jurisdiction they want you in.
Why don't you look at the video and tell me why it is my case is just sitting there dead since, a couple of years now?
Well, I wish I had the internet to take a look at it, but it's been sitting there dead. Whenever I go into court, usually within 30 seconds, they dismiss everything on the government's behalf.
So, Jerry, I appreciate your perspective, and you obviously, worked hard at this for 15 years, and it seems to me that you consider yourself then a true sovereign. You've given up zero rights to anyone, and you have no protection other than what you can provide for yourself.
No, I'm not a sovereign. The definition of sovereign is the supreme ruler, and I'm not a supreme ruler. There is only one supreme ruler, and that's the Christ.
Okay.
I'm actually in bondage. I'm a servant.
Okay.
Anyway, I appreciate y'all's efforts, and it is very distressing when I found out these things, and I started finding them out in 1989 when I wrote all 13 of the colonies for various enabling legislation for the Constitution. And when I got all those copies back and they were all identical, I found out, whoops, never was any authorization for a Constitution in the United States, ever.
Who would authorize that?
They had to have some sort of enabling legislation for the 13 states.
From who?
From the 13 states to have a constitutional convention. The states only authorized amending the Articles of Confederation. They never authorized the Constitution, ever. It was never authorized. It was just a backroom get-together by 53 guys that were very skilled in admiralty law. And by the way, one of the things that's very interesting...
Now, let me ask you a question. If the original Articles of Confederation, which required 100% consensus, not two-thirds, it required 100% consensus, and when they found out that Rhode Island didn't really want to show up anymore because they didn't want to change any of the things that were going on, Rhode Island had a pretty good deal under that Articles of Confederation. They created the Constitution of the United States, which came after the Articles of Confederation, and it was voluntary. It's voluntary. It's something that if you want, you can voluntarily be a part of it. And that's what they created.
Right. You can voluntarily get out of it, and you have to work to get out of it. But they didn't have...
No, I said we're talking about getting into it, Jerry. You said the original colonies did not have the authority for the Constitution of the United States that...
No, they never gave any authority to have a constitutional convention.
They didn't need it because it's voluntary.
Okay. The states never authorized it, is what I'm saying. When you said 100% compliance, that the term they used was there had to be a quorum. In other words, all members from all states had to be there at all times.
Exactly.
First thing they did day one was they voted in a quorum, which was totally against what each of the 13 states said they could do. They said everybody's got to be there. And people hung out and drank beer, and then all of a sudden they put in a quorum. It had nothing
that
all states had to do.
But unless something didn't want to change, and Rhode Island was one of them that didn't want to change the things change the really good deal they had under the Articles of Confederation. So they all got together and started a new business, but it's voluntary. They didn't have to take part in it. Rhode Island decided to because it was better off that they did since everybody else went down that path.
Well, anyway, thank you all for letting me offer a couple comments.
Absolutely, Jerry. Thanks for calling. It's bottom half of the second hour, folks. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Simple Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. HerbalHealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back, folks. This is your co-host, Todd McGreevy, being joined by Corey Ibe. And Corey, so, you know, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, it looks like. And I think one of the key takeaways from that interlude with Jerry is we don't want to find ourselves in court. That's not our goal. We're not looking to, you know, be in a court battle.
Exactly. We're looking to win long before we ever get to court. If we have to go to court, you bring overwhelming evidence. And I, you know, I personally find the idea that, and I gotten these arguments in the No Driver's License group to add ad nauseum about the Holy Roman Empire and everything else. From my perspective, I have not seen anybody who claims that that type of jurisdiction be effective in changing the behavior of government. This government was established by the people and for the people. It's the people that can affect the behavior of government. And so I find those arguments to be, very difficult to comprehend or to withstand any real serious examination, about how to engage with government. Although I will acknowledge that I have spoke with people who personally feel that they have been able to disengage with government and they're left alone. And if that's what you're looking for, if you just want to be left alone, that may be one of the ways to skin a cat. I've decided personally to disengage with government, circle back, and re-engage on a much more powerful footing that allows me to have an effect with government better than any of the other methods that I've researched or seen. And it's quite, from my perspective, fairly simple.
Yeah, we are, you know, trying to protect our property, protect our labor, and enforce contracts. We are trying to keep it simple. I will admit, and we have talked about it, it's been a while since I've gone into this, but I mean, the Treaty of Paris is a document that, you know, it's still, there's many people believe some of it's still in force, and it explains why our GovCo acts in certain ways. I don't want to turn a blind eye that there is what I consider to be an unholy triumvirate between the Bank of England or the town of London, or what is it that there's this little cabal inside England. It's like, you know, like kind of like their DC, if you will.
The Crown. It's 1 square mile, the Crown.
Yeah, and then in the Vatican itself, and our District of Columbia here, it's a three-legged, you know, stool of the overlords, essentially. But right now, I'm not going to be able to change that, right? What I can change is how I conduct myself, where I live, and how I operate, you know, amongst my neighbors and friends. And that's really what, you know, we can control, if you will, to some degree.
You can control your signature, you can control the words that you use, and you can control the benefits that you seek from government. And understanding that your ability to control your signature is key in how you engage with government is something that, you know, a lot of people, in fact, most of them are attorneys that say none of that stuff matters. You know, well, you're right. To an attorney, none of that matters, because once you start behaving in a way that indicates you're one of the people, the attorneys lose power. They don't make as much money. In fact, you find you don't need to hire them nearly as often. I mean, we'll probably always need those scumbags for things like contract and stuff like that. I don't know if it's clear or not, but I really do not like Esquires. I am so happy to hear that in New Hampshire, bringing back the original 13th Amendment, I would absolutely support 100% denying citizenship to anybody who signed on the dotted line and takes the title Esquire.
Yeah, it's I will say not all attorneys are scumbags, so I keep having to throw that caveat out there. Some of them are my friends, so, you know.
Well, anybody who has the title Esquire is a scumbag as far as I'm concerned. And if their skin isn't thick enough to handle it, then they shouldn't be an attorney.
I understand. You know, and to one final point on Jerry's comments, you know, I think he considers himself under the jurisdiction of God, you know, or under the heaven, you know, if you will, or Jesus, however you want to call it. I have a lot of respect for that, because my limited knowledge of history in the Bible shows that, you know, Jesus was, if you can believe, you know, that he actually existed, and that, you know, all the history books are accurate, if you will, or the Bible's accurate, he succumbed to no other jurisdiction either. And that's why he was such a hot potato, and being bounced around within these, the Pharisees and the Jews and the Romans, nobody knew what to do with him, because he wouldn't succumb to anybody's jurisdiction. And I think there's something to be learned from that.
Well, so I think you're right. I think when you look at the history of the Bible that we have today, the book that we have today, it was really put together by a group of politicians. I think it might have been the Council of Nicaea. But to use the Bible today to say that that's God's word, that's something that my dad and I, we had some discussions with a long time ago that didn't go over very well. But the original Bible, the book of the Bible, was put together that we have now as a way to appease different political groups. I'll have to check that and think. I think it was the First Council of Nicaea, but I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it was Alexander the Great. He's the one that decided what the Bible was going to be. And I have a hard time saying that Alexander the Great, or acknowledging that Alexander the Great had the authority to do that.
Right, right. Well, we've got some callers in the queue, Corey, as you can imagine. Let's go to, we have Lark in Texas, and then behind him we have Rodney in Illinois. So let's go to Lark real quick. Hi, Lark.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I just want to say that there at one time was a general knowledge and understanding of the very basic precepts of what was known as honorable contract. And unfortunately, what we have today is we have a tripartite equation which governs all of our lives. And it goes something like this. Socialism equals gangsterism equals slavery. Now, what I'm referring to is this idea of contracting with the collectivist third party with names such as state, government, community, and even XYZ Corp. At one time, it was common knowledge that you just cannot honorably contract with such an entity because it is not, that entity has not specifically been provided a name attached to a real live human being. And so I would submit that there's only one correction, and that is to relearn the very simple elements of an honorable contract. And when we combine that with the with five general maxims of law, which hold true across all jurisdictions, no matter what type of law, national, international, private, public, you name it. And then when we combine that with the only moral code, which the people then as now know today, which Jews and Christians and people of all faiths and religious traditions follow, and that moral code is called the Golden Rule. Rabbi Hillel, who lived from 30 BC to 10 AD, he said, "What is hateful to thee, do not unto thy fellow man." This is the whole of the law, capital L law. The rest is but commentary. So I would invite your comments about that, but I can tell you this. William Pitt said in 1783, necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. And this is our problem. Since the Act of 1871, okay, and in the aftermath of the so-called American Civil War, during the time of Reconstruction, remember, the American Civil War was a communist revolution won by the communist. It was won by the Federalist. And you can research this yourself by reading a simple little article entitled The Lincoln Push, America's Bolshevik Revolution.
So let's take a look at the Constitution. Sorry to interrupt you there real quick, but...
I would like to finish my thoughts, but please continue.
Well, I'd like to, before you go on, that's a pretty big statement to make, that Lincoln, it was a socialist or communist war on the behalf of Lincoln. I can look in the Constitution and see where Lincoln had the obligation to prosecute that war as long as the northern states were in agreement, and it was purely voluntary on the part of the northern states. But
Lincoln served the interest of the railroad. He was a railroad lawyer. He was a mass murderer and a pig.
So are you familiar with Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution?
No, because I wasn't a party to it, and I don't give a darn about the Constitution.
Well, then you shouldn't even be calling into the show, because the whole point of controlling the people with the guns that are causing problems is using the Constitution to do that. What's your solution?
Well, I already expressed it. I think Jerry expressed it very well. The problem is that we do not understand and retain knowledge as a people, a collectivist people. What is an honorable contract? And you cannot contract with a collectivist third party entity.
Why not?
Because all of a sudden you are dissociated from doing contractual business from one person to another.
Well, then you don't know how to control your signature properly.
I don't put my signature to anything.
Great, but you can still contract without binding your signature or entering into a dishonorable contract.
That's right. I contract every day, but I believe in my word is my bond. And I don't do written contracts. I only do oral contracts. And that is a contract, too.
Sure. So, Lark, you called in. You wanted us to comment on your original comments about what honorable contracts are, right? I mean, is that the gist of your question?
Well, the gist of the question goes something like this. We have been under the doctrine or rule of necessity since at least 1871. in this land called the United States of America. I just read to you a quote by William Pitt. Now, when we talk about well-being, what are we really talking about? We're talking about separating needs from wants or desires. Needs is very equivalent to that word necessity. And so what did William Pitt say? He said, necessity is the plea for every infringement of human freedom. It is the argument of tyrants. It is the creed of slaves. Now, this government, I thought, growing up, was supposed to be a very limited government. It was considered dishonorable to rely upon the government for a damn thing, because it was supposed to be limited. And people understood that good fences made good neighbors. Property was important to people.
So, Lark, is your solution then to the challenges we face, protecting our property, protecting our labor, and upholding contracts, then to what? Can you be a little more succinct?
I can tell you this. We have no more property rights in this country because we've just about adopted unwittingly to every plank of the famous 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto. We live under community law today. That's communitarian law.
Yeah,
and it's because we have entered into contract bondage because we're stupid and we're not talking about the real issues. Okay? You know, the original idea of this country was that our status would be akin to, but not the same as, that we would be sovereigns without subjects. But instead, what we have is we've got people entering into dishonorable contracts willy-nilly, some invisible, others not. Even the standard employer-employee relationship today is absolutely a dishonorable contract. And so I cannot enter into such a dishonorable contract. And I haven't for nearly 8 years now. And it's the only solution. We have to break some contracts that actually bring us into dishonor. As individuals, I'm
so you're saying to dishonorable contracts that two wrongs make a right. Is that the point?
All. I'm saying that we must, in a systematic fashion, break old bondage. If you can voluntarily enter into a contract, you can voluntarily come out of a contract and dissolve.
Well, you said we have to break contracts. What do you mean when you say break a contract? That's a lot. That word, break a contract, means that you're dishonoring a contract. What do you mean by that?
Well, you have to do it in conjunction with the party in which you entered the contract with it originally. It's just that simple.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, I can tell you.
Not answering the question. How do you break a contract yet remain in honor?
Well, for 8 years, number one, I don't consort with criminals. That means I do not consort with anybody that is tied to the corporatist socialist state called the United States of America or the state of Texas, for instance. I simply will not enter any contractual obligation with anybody that I regard as a criminal. And that's what they are. If they're a socialist, I don't care if it's a corporatist or a communist, a Democrat, Republican. I mean, I want nothing to do with these people. They're criminals.
So, Lark, we apologize because we do have Rodney on hold and time is short for our hour here. So we appreciate your input and your perspective.
Thank you for letting me have a word.
Absolutely, Lark. Thank you for calling. We're gonna jump over to Rodney out in Illinois. Rodney's been holding patiently. Hi, Rodney.
Hi, guys. I wanted to follow up on one thing that Corey said and one thing that Jerry Kirk said. Mm-hmm. Relative to, Jerry mentioned his appearance in a courtroom in a dismissal in a very short order. Corey mentioned that he has a case of which he's probably, and I would agree, should be proud of, but I want to compare it to the game of chess. In the game of chess, when one player says checkmate, that's a fact. It's verifiable. Anybody with a rudimentary understanding of the game could say, yes, indeed, it is. In a courtroom setting, checkmate is when you've got a court order ordering the one party or the other to pay up or a jury, you know, coming down with a verdict. I had a civil case, a mechanics lien case. A guy didn't pay me. I sued him, attached the lien to his property. I overcame his attorney's motion to dismiss. It sat there for 10 years. I did nothing. He did nothing for 10 years. Now, did I win? No. All I did is I won relative to defeating the motion to dismiss. That simply kept the case alive. I did not win until 12 years later. I got a court order that said the defendant must pay the plaintiff X number of dollars, and when that was complied with, then I won. Checkmate. Now,
okay.
I hope Corey, you know, can follow through and can one day truly say checkmate relative to his case. And I'll try to get Jerry a copy of that video.
I'll cover that answer on the other side, why I purposely leave that case open.
Absolutely. Roddy, thanks for bringing that up. We appreciate it. We're going to take this last break for today's show. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bells? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment into a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage are protected for long life, and all parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sizes to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to SantaBarbaraBells.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
So, Corey, yes, you're going to talk to us about why you let that case open. And just so you know, we have a Michael on hold in New York who said he'll be very quick about property rights. So go ahead.
All right. Well, real quick, I leave that case open. It exists at my pleasure. The case is more than a year old. I could easily file a CERNA motion or something in relation to being a CERNA motion to have that case dismissed. I leave it open because I have a video that allows people to reference and go directly to the court and see that it just sits there. So, I don't know what else to say other than it.
Well, I think
it
it's important to point out that Rodney's case, he had a lien on the guy because the guy owed him money. There was an injured party, right? And that needed to be adjudicated. Whereas, correct me if I'm wrong, but the appearance you made without a plea was regarding some kind of traffic ticket.
Yeah,
right?
Well, it was an infraction. It was non-traffic. It was an infraction. I was at the beach after midnight, and they kind of threw the book at me because I wouldn't identify myself by my first name. I used my given name.
Yeah.
But there was no real injured party there, and that was really just an opportunity to learn something.
Yeah.
And in that case where he said it took him 12 years, well, when you have a lawsuit that you have to supply the order for your suit. It's called an enforcement clause. So the reason why it took 12 years is because it just wasn't happening correctly, at least from what I heard in that call. I know we're really short. Let's see if we can get Michael in.
Hey, Michael, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, gentlemen. Regarding the property tax, here's the evidence that we don't have any property rights. You own your property free and clear, no liens. Then they get you for delinquent property tax payments. They confiscate your property, put it up for auction, they sell it. They keep all the money. They don't just take the money that's supposedly owed for the illegal property tax. They keep all the money. Now, what's the definition of a racket, if that is?
Let me ask you a quick question, Michael. Do you own a property?
No, I'm a renter.
Okay, well, you know, the property taxes are voluntary. Most people don't properly record the deed to their home. In every deed, just look at the way the government records deeds. You can deed your house to a government. They won't do anything with it until they accept it.
Can I access you personally and go over this in detail? Because I do want to help some family out with this issue.
Well, I don't do, like, I'm certainly not an expert on that issue.
I'm familiar with quite a bit of it, and I know how they are, and I went to the local property tax department, requested a copy of the law that says private property owners have to pay. There is no law. They verified that, but they acted
right, there's
like,
no law. It's all voluntary.
Yes, and they verified
start out
that.
By making your common law ID. That's the first place to go.
Michael, leave your contact information with the board operator, all right? Please.
I sure will. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, do we have a minute? How much
yes.
time do we got left? We got a minute. What do you think? You know, you and I discussed a possible competition for the show or a prize.
Bounty, challenge.
A challenge, yes. We want to lay down the challenge, and you have graciously agreed to fund it.
Well, I found somebody who will bring 11 silver coins to the table, all right, 11
beautiful.
Silver rounds as the prize, the bounty, for the first person that can get Corey and I an actual letter from the Department of Justice. And take it away, Corey.
Well, what we want is we want an answer from the Department of Justice as to whether or not they think they can fly drones over the original republics that existed prior to the Civil War, and can they engage the people of those republics. Now, we had a letter. We're going to put up some contest rules, but you could make 11 silver rounds if you can get the Department of Justice to respond to your letter. We're going to get people engaged.
And you can find the letter we're talking about at the March 23rd show of Common Sense Revisited, which is archived in the show links at thirdrailblog.com, thirdrailblog.com. Look for the March 23rd show notes. The headline says Drones Over America, and there you will see the letter Corey sent, and you'll also see a draft shell letter to send. And by the way, folks, we have a new email. It's info@thirdrailblog.com. That's info@thirdrailblog.com. Any questions, you can send it there. I've updated the email at Third Rail Blog there as well. Corey, thanks for being with us today. We'll talk to you soon. Listeners, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you again. Take care.
With financial uncertainty,